Got the tickets, Sergey?
Yep.
Now, what movie are we watch?
Ooh, an adventure.
Oh, where are we?
Ooh, it's a tomb.
Okay, stay close to me, and whatever you do, don't set off any... booby traps. Sergey, run! Meerkat, you can get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday when you switch your car or home insurers, so compare the market.
With a qualifying product, 1 membership per year, participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheapest free. T's and C's apply.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening. What's up, everybody? It's me, Dave. Welcome to your bonus Q&A. Patreon Q&A, question and answer, if you're keeping score at home. Normally, don't do a little intro. We got a nice fun one here for you, some great questions. But we had a few audio issues, and just wanted to give you a little heads up on that so you're not like, what the fuck is going on here? Somewhere around 22 minutes or so, we have some static in my... You probably can't hear it, but in our respective earbuds, a lot of static going on, and we couldn't really hear each other too well, so we have to kind of stop and restart and get all that out of the way. And then when we finally do come back, so I guess this would be right after that, I think the first minute or two, Kyle forgot to speak into the microphone. So it might be a little bit of deja vu there, except reversed, where you only hear me for a minute or two instead of Kyle. I heard him fine because we're speaking to each other on the phone, but we also have our mics on our table, and we're supposed to speak into those, and apparently Kyle forgot to speak directly into the microphone. So some audio issues there. So a couple issues today. Come on. What do you expect from the dumbass Boogie Monster? But just want to give you a heads up on that so you're not like thinking that it's on your end. No. It's always on our end. So anyway, without further to-do, here you go. Bonus Q&A for April. Of course, it's a few days late, but also you know how it works. Again, thank you guys for your patronage. Enjoy the episode.
First, should put chapstick on beforehand.
You chapstick, yeah. Dave?
I am not. Never have been. I needed some when we were camping.
I didn't think you were.
Yeah. I heard.
No sunglasses, early... no chapstick for Dave. You just love getting beaten by the elements.
I do. I heard early on, somebody told me, like in high school, like, you don't need chapstick if you never start using it, you'll never really need it. It's people become dependent on it. Your lips become dependent on it. That's where I draw the line with dependency. You know, I'm half an alcoholic and a pothead, but I don't want to become dependent on my CarMax.
CarMax is yeah. A dealership. CarMax.
I also hated I hated the way that shit smelled too.
I think it was OG chapstick. I think was addictive. Right now I got a Dr. Bronner's. They make that hippie soap.
That's what I'd use. With the soap, not with the obviously the chapstick, but I like Dr. Bronner's.
But I got the lip balm, and I feel like I'm not using it nearly as much as I used to use OG chapstick.
Okay, there you go.
But I like to have it. You know, I like I like to have kissable lips, Dave.
I like to be weathered. Lips. I want to be haggard and weathered.
Weathered, fucking. Just hot water on the balls, burnt by the desert. You like to treat yourself how other people would treat a prisoner. You treat yourself like you need to hear, like you're holding secrets from yourself.
I think it's like subconsciously low self-esteem. Like, I don't deserve to be pampered. Look what you've done to yourself. You don't deserve pampering.
I don't think it's pampering. I don't think it's not like, Dave doesn't get manicures. Like, you could stop burning your testicles in the shower. Like, you go out of your way to do that. That's something you on purpose do to yourself.
Oh, it's great. It's real nice.
But this episode, this is a bonus episode. This isn't about us. Yeah. It's about you guys.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about my burnt sack. This is bonus content.
Yeah.
Oh, before I forget. Yeah. Before I forget, we forgot to do this on the bonus last month, but let's give away a prize, shall we?
Okay.
I posted a few weeks ago. Last month we gave away your debut album on vinyl, and somebody won that. And this month we're giving away a Boogie Monster T-shirt, specifically a 2X Beefy Boy. So Beefy Boys can line up.
Oh, we're giving away a Big Boy shirt.
Giving away Big Boy. Got some extras left over.
Do people know that? Do the people submitted know it's a
I made
Big
it
Boy
clear.
Shirt.
I made it clear it was a 2X. So, and we still had 175 applicants. So, Kyle, what I've done is I've got 175 little pieces of paper with 175 different names on them.
Nobody believes that, Dave.
You can hear it. Look at that. That's 175 pieces of paper. And
nobody believes that you did this.
I did. And just to remain completely unbiased, we've got a third party here who's going to draw. So
hello.
Katie's here with us.
Oh,
and,
hi.
So Katie, just pick one, okay. Only
Katie,
one.
You are okay, now complicit.
And read it to me.
Trixie Emerson.
Trixie Emerson won the Big Beefy Boy T-shirt. So
Trixie
there we go,
Emerson,
Trixie.
Trixie Emerson, the space professor. Ow. Just cut my hand.
Do I get a cut of this?
Yeah, we'll cut you.
Yeah.
Okay.
10%.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, we'll talk about
that. Oh, now we're splitting money with Kit. Now it's out of control.
Yeah, she's demanding. You know, she's got to get her cut. She's been watching too much Sopranos. She's always telling me she needs her taste.
You brought that into that household. But congratulations, Trixie Emerson.
Trixie Emerson just won you a T-shirt. Trixie, I will be messaging you on this platform, and we will arrange shipping details. So congrats, Trixie, and thank you for your patronage, and thank you, everybody, for your patronage.
Arrange a drop-off point.
We'll continue to do monthly giveaways until we're all out of extra merch. There we go. No, we'll keep it going. We might even work something out with Anxious and Angry and start doing gift cards or something. So we'll try to figure something cool out that we can give away. Everybody.
Yeah, we'll arrange through A&A. They got a thing. They got old Riverboat Gamblers, I guess, did two covers of a Ramones and a Motorhead song that is exclusive over there for a special thing.
Oh,
let's go to anxiousandangry.com and check out all their good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's. You want to get into these?
We can ace some cues, buddy.
We should. I like Carl Fisher just going, fuck, got to be first. Overalls, yes or no? I got a pair sitting right over here right now.
Big yes. Big old yes. Mm-hmm. I don't have any, but that's something on my list. I kind of touched on this yesterday on the regular episode when I was complimenting your really cool linen suit, but I think I gotta up my fashion game. I'm gonna really start focusing on my fashion, so I think I'm gonna get some overalls. So,
I mean obviously the Southern Heritage Society would pull it off, but you know what? I just like having the pockets. I don't understand the hatred towards cargo shorts. Like, they're not cool, but nobody's putting on cargo shorts going, time to swim through that pussy juice. Like, you put them on because they have extra pockets, and I like them.
Yeah.
Like, listen,
yeah, you
ladies.
Could put beers in there, hammers.
You could put beers, masks, whatever kind of stuff you need, and it's on the side. It's not bulging out next to your hips, or you're not going to sit on it accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's a jealousy on ladies or fans of females' fashions part because they never have good pockets. Mm-hmm. Ladies' jeans, they get ripped off on storage space. They're stuck carrying a purse.
That's true.
Don't be jealous that dudes are not upset about wearing storage unit clothing. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love the overalls. You put stuff right in the front pocket. If you're bending over a lot or doing something, you don't want something in the front pocket. Again, you sit on stuff that's in the back pocket. I love using the overalls for around the house stuff and for Helen issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get hair on my shirt, but I still want to, you know, pet the cat and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Throw the overalls on.
I love it, man. So. I love it. Yeah, I definitely got to get me some. I was thinking about, too, I like the idea of utilizing overalls in the kitchen the same way a mechanic might be in the garage rather than just putting on an apron. I got the overalls. So all the sauce and the flour and the butter, just wipe my hands on my overalls. I'd be fine.
I love it. And I mean, aprons just overalls without the legs in them.
True, true. But you see somebody cooking it up in the kitchen and they're wearing overalls. You're like, that motherfucker means business. They know what they're doing.
I would argue that. But then if you're going to go sit down and eat the food, then you're covering food. You got to change out the overalls, whereas the apron comes off easily, and you got your outfit on underneath. True. You want to throw an apron over overalls. You want to overall yourself. I'm not going to stop you from doing that. But I think the whole point of the apron is that it can come off in the kitchen area, so you're not taking that mess out to the dining room.
That's true. Same way you got to take that apron off when you're the worst thing in the world to see in a restaurant is kitchen staff coming out of the bathroom with their apron on. Got to take that apron off. Yeah. Don't wear your apron into the bathroom. That's the first rule of restaurants.
Also, I mean, if you're a dude, like, what are you just like throwing it over your head, peekaboo style to take a leak? How are you doing that?
Well, if you really wanted to do that, you would just shift it. You would twist it to where the apron's now on the side or the back. And what was the back is now over your dong, and there's no encumberments. So,
but apron with nothing underneath it, every universally sexy move.
That's true, too. So, yeah, man, overalls. I'm going to get a pair soon.
Big yes. Hard yes, Carl Fisher.
Mm-hmm. What else we got? Eric Emerson, where's the next outdoor excursion? Got ideas for going somewhere that's been closed due to the pandemic? That's a good question. You know, I was talking about this with Katie the other day. You know where I've never been that I would like to go, and I think I'm going to go soon? I have never been or camped to a cardiologist. I never been to Yosemite. I want to go camping in Yosemite. I think that's on my list for this summer.
Mm-hmm. Get camping or even getting a room and just driving through it. I was going to say, I got to look up the name of that we were just talking about the other day, the drive from Eureka, California back up to Portland, which we had done on a previous run and then I had done, and I can't remember the name of that forest. Go see an old growth forest if you have access to one is what I would tell people.
Mm-hmm. Old ass forest.
See some large trees that are hundreds, if not thousands, of years old. To see a living thing that is like, and to know that it's like, oh man, this has just been here for like. Think about the other things that happened in the time that that tree has been alive. That kind of
stuff. I love that. I love thinking like that.
Jedediah Smith Redwood State Park is the one I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. I love doing that with tortoises. I've talked about my love of tortoises and sea turtles. But one some of those tortoises.
Oldest one is just turned 188, I think.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is sure crazy. So let me think if I could do that math real quick. Maybe not quite, but that turtle was almost alive during the Civil War. Or wait. No, he was alive during the Civil War. Yeah. Yeah.
It was 2 years in the Civil War.
1841. If he's 180, He's born in 18, or you said 88. Yeah, that turtle was alive during the Civil War. Now, I don't know if he was in the South at the time, but just the concept of like a living animal was like, yeah, I remember the Civil War. I remember World War One. I remember World War. I got drafted in Korea. Like,
think of that, like you got a scar that you know. Like, I remember when I got this scar, and the tortoise is like, yeah, the musket.
Yeah, I mean that's insane to me. Trees even more so, living that long. I mean, there are trees alive right now.
Tree alive.
A lot of them that were pre-America. Like, that's crazy.
I went to Stonehenge a few years ago, and somebody is noting like how there's markings on it from soldiers, I think it was World War II, going by and like leaving their mark on it, which is like, oh man, it's crappy graffiti. But think about that history.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that's that's graffiti from 80, 90 years ago from soldiers, from a major event in world history on another relic of world history.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, going to Europe and seeing buildings that are like, oh, like you could see this survived the war. This one next to it didn't. So that's a new building next to an old building, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's really nuts, man. I was watching a YouTube video this morning. I forgot what channel or what even the title of the video is. But it's this one channel that they find old video footage and then restore it. You know, they fix the color and, you know, all the contrast, whatever. Yeah. But I was watching one this morning from Japan from like 1912. And it's just 5 minutes of just B-roll, like in the city center, you know, just somebody had a camera and it's so clear. Like, you can just see these faces of these people that, you know, were a century ago in a different country. And it's funny, too, because there's several like that. There's, you know, clips from Europe and clips from – there's one early San Francisco, like 1908. But they all share the same thing because back then, I guess, cameras were so rare. But, like, everybody you see in the frame is looking at the camera like, what the fuck is that? What's this guy doing? What's the thing you're pointing at me? Everybody's very suspicious of this weird machine.
Yeah. Cause I mean, yeah, basically just resembles a gun or a cannon. Mm-hmm. Like when has anything else been pointed at a crowd of people in a manner?
Yeah.
You just made me look up virtual reality headsets. Cause it's like the idea that you can put on VR and like explore,
oh,
anywhere in the world.
Uh-huh.
In a virtual reality sense. Like, oh, here's what the inside of the pyramids look like. I mean, I think I've seen some of them before where they kind of do recreations. I'm like, I don't want that. Just do – I'm a sucker for those – like the stuff they put on when you're on a treadmill and it's like, oh, here, pretend you're running through this Dutch city or something. I'll sit there and watch that. Pretend I'm in a cool wheelchair.
So, like, the virtual reality you're talking about, is it CGI or is it kind of like the Google car where it's real footage? Somebody at some point really took a camera into the pyramids.
I think you can get a little bit of both. I need to do a lot more research on this because I just know you see some things where people will digitally recreate or use they just found some ancient city, and I don't know where, but used sonograms to kind of map out what was under the lay of the land and could recreate it digitally. Or I've seen things where they'll put, it's like a piece of glass with the drawing or like the architectural drawing of what used to be there for like the Acropolis or something in Greece. So you could stand there and see where the actual ruins behind the piece of glass fill in what was the larger structure back in time. So
that's awesome.
I might have to look into this VR stuff. Could look at boobs with it too, Dave.
Hell yeah, man.
Jer cool. Grieve says, Dave, Kyle, question for both of you. If you could pick a movie role that you felt would be perfect for the other, what would it be? Ooh.
Good question.
for Dave.
Man, I think you should I think not to suck your back there, but you need to be in more movies, dude. You're a good actor. I keep waiting to see.
Well, thanks, man.
Like, I watch these, you know, dumb romantic comedies or, you know, whatever comedies or whatever, and they're fine. But I can't watch, like, a big budget comedy without thinking, like, I know five buddies that would be better and funnier than the people in this movie.
That's what living in LA is like, though. Like, oh, I know the people that should get it, but the fact of the matter is, it's like if you can't get in that room with three people staring at you and make them like you, it doesn't matter. And that whole process was kind of gross to me. But I think if you were in a movie, Dave, I see you. I'm trying to think of, like, not what people would think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think more of, like, Jason Bourne.
Okay. Oh, cool. Right on. Thanks, man. Yeah. I was going to say, like, the next Southern-based Coen Brothers movie. Like, I would have killed to have been in Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Just the smallest role.
I know that, but I'm not trying to pick the thing that everybody... I'm trying to think, like, I think of you as, like... Like a spy.
Action hero.
Yeah, like that's out of the Mission box. Mission Impossible, but not the stunts, not really the stunts so much.
Oh, man.
But more a like you're just more hero. Smooth. It's like you don't need to do the crazy things because you're outsmarting the enemy.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we don't need you dangling off a building because you're like, guys, they have an
Dave
elevator.
Would never do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I got an elevator. What's all this shit?
Why'd I do that? Oh, man.
Nobody would expect you, like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's wearing an apron over some overalls. He's not here to assassinate whoever needs assassinated.
Yeah.
Dave Stone, tasty assassin.
God, that's funny. I'd love to do some shit like that.
The movie's called Assassination. And you're a chef. You're a private chef that gets hired to kill people.
Oh, part of the Big Beefy Sauce Daddy
you're
franchise.
You're a barbecue chef that murders people with tongs.
Oh, my God. That'd be great.
What are you doing over there? You running around outside? You on the treadmill?
Oh, you talking to me?
Yeah. Are you outside? What's going on?
No, why? What do you hear?
Wind.
Oh, really? No, there's no wind.
I hear it in my headphones. I don't know if they hear it in the episode. I didn't know if you're like had some action going on over there.
No, there's no wind over here. I know I sound guilty. Like, there's no wind. I'm not outside, but I'm really not. And I actually shut the windows today, so that's good.
I'm losing you. What's going on here? You're getting quiet on me, Dave. I don't know what's happening.
Maybe it's a bad connection. Can you hear me now?
A little bit, it's kind of like, you're kind of like extra quiet.
No, I'm right here. I tell you what, I'm going to hang up and call you back. No need to pause. We'll do this in real time. All right, I'm going to call
you.
I'm gonna hang up.
Oh, there he goes. He's calling me back, everybody. It seems suspect over
him.
There. Sounded suspect.
I have him listening.
It's
Kyle.
There he goes. All right,
it's ringing.
Sweet, sure. All right, here we are.
There you are. Am I any better?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, I don't know what else I can do for you, buddy. This is out of my hands.
Sound like you were driving around or something with a window open.
No.
People aren't paying $4 a month to hear this. They're paying $4 a month to see that, but still asked, either y'all like to fish.
Good usage of y'all, but still. Yeah, I love to fish. I don't fish as much as I used to. I fished a lot when I was a teenager. Had a pond right across from my house. So I'd probably
fish. Well, you got a whole ocean a couple blocks away now, Dave.
That's true, too. I don't have ocean gear, though. I'm sure that's a whole different setup I have to get. But who knows? Are you still there? Now I'm hearing weird stuff.
Yeah, what's going on over there, man?
I don't know. I hear it in my earbuds. I hear like... You hear that, like a rustling?
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
No idea what that is.
You want to?
That's just between you and I. I don't think that's going through the microphone, so that's good.
I know, but okay.
All right, I'm gonna try it again. Right. I'm gonna hang up again. Let's do this again. Oh, it's 4:20.
Okay, well, right when Dave's hung up on me again.
All right,
it's 4:20.
Let's
right
try
now.
This again. This is great, great bonus try. Content. It's ringing. Okay, and there he is. Can you hear me now?
I do hear you.
Okay, is it you hear all the other bullshit like you were? Okay, we solved that problem, I think.
Minor hiccup.
Mm-hmm.
For two amateur audio engineers.
I have no idea what that was. Just this weird static in my earbuds.
Some dumb old bullshit.
I don't even give a shit. Yeah, but still, yeah, I used to fish all the time. I enjoy fishing. You're right, though. It does seem a shame to live two blocks from the ocean and not try to become a harvester of the sea.
I like that we did have a faux pas and come back, and you're like, okay, but yeah, but still. And I thought you were just saying that as like a continuation of our conversation, but that was the name of the person who asked the question about
yeah,
the
yeah, but still. That's
anyway,
a great handle.
Yeah, still.
You could win any argument with that.
That helped. I don't think I've really been fishing. I feel like I might like it because I still like to eat fish.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on a boat where like, it was like crab boat. And all we did, the guy just pulled up crab pots and then gave us crab. I thought we were going to be more involved in the process. And just sat there and pulled up the things. And here's some of these. Like, okay.
Fishing's pretty easy.
You go on a boat, get drunk, and some other guy gives you some food.
I've been deep sea fishing. That was a lot of fun.
That seems like it's wild because you could pull out some real monsters.
Yeah. I forgot
what
I caught.
I'm doing? You know what I forgot to do was just talk into the microphone.
Oh, yeah?
The last minute and a half. Yeah, because we were just calling on the phone, and then I was just talking into the ear pods. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got a whole swing arm microphone here. Anyway, you probably heard me. Oh, boy. Hopefully people stuck through. This is...
How far from the microphone were you?
It was just... I just had it retracted over to the side. Let me see where... if they were hearing anything. I mean, I guess, yeah, I was still talking. Fuck, man.
That's all right.
All right. Let's do... we should record a thing for the beginning of this episode to say we're very sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll take care of that. We'll do that.
You know? They're like, okay, listen, this one's all over the place.
Oh, boy. Jake Miller.
All right.
Says, hey, fellas, what are your shoe sizes? I work in online sneaker sales, and I wouldn't mind, quote, losing some pairs. Okay.
Well,
okay.
Sounds like you're going to lose your job by putting your name on here. And
yeah. It's all right,
Jake. Announcing you're going to give away free stuff.
Hey, I'll take your shoe. 10.5. I'm a 10.5.
I'm size 9.
I'm not
which
really
is funny because there's another question from Darth Sedentary is which of y'all has a smaller dong? But we just gave our shoe sizes, so I guess I don't know. Maybe you could explore that.
No, when we started the podcast, we got matching sizes. We
matching size dongs.
Yeah, because we're a team.
Yeah, well, because you know that can cause problems later on. So yeah. You're like, all right, if I was a manager of a sports team and make sure they all have the same size dick. So once they get in the shower, we're all equal here, all right? We're all here to win.
Oh, man.
This isn't a dick measuring contest. You know why it's not? Because I know I made sure you guys all had the same size dicks. Coach, they didn't. That was actually just a euphemism. Are you shitting me? Well, I don't think we're going to the championship this year.
Oh, I always love that term, dick measuring contest. I think Kumail's character in Silicon Valley actually riffs on that premise where he says...
Oh, that was like a huge episode, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's that one where they try to figure out how many people they could jack off, how long it would take to jack off the entire audience, and they use all this trigonometry and shit. But his point was that based on that phrase, he's like, I never knew if that meant like who has, let's measure our dicks, or... Dick measuring contests kind of sounds like how many dicks can you measure? Who can measure the most dicks in a certain amount of time?
Oh. So. I never watched that show.
Oh, it's
I'm sure it's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. I have no reason that I didn't watch it other than I don't really... I got like three comedies that I settle into.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest I just watch stupid shit about fucking ghosts.
What kind of kicks do you want Jake to send you?
I don't know. I mean, that's his call. Surprise me, man.
No, but what do you like? You rock the Vans a lot.
Yeah, but I know what I like. But if somebody's going to do a gift for me, then surprise me with something fun.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't like silly sneakers. I don't like too flashy, too futuristic. I don't like neons.
What do you consider silly?
I don't like non-traditional colors. Yeah, I like retro Jordans. I really dig the old retro Jordans. Pretty much any color pattern I'd be down with. But I don't like, you know, I don't want any hot pink, you know, high tops with the green soles and, you know, black, white, maybe navy blue. Retro, I could, you know, I get those Boston Celtic greens or the Chicago Bulls red and black. That's fine. But I don't want any, like, hot pinks or neons or anything that looks too robotic or futuristic.
I'm a man for Dave. Everybody.
I'm a big tough guy. I don't need hot pink.
He's a big tough. So I think the opposite is like you see a guy with your stature with pink shoes on. You're like, that guy doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, true.
That's scarier than a guy that still kind of cares. You know, this guy.
What are your thoughts?
Give a shit.
What are your thoughts on, like,
say something about my shoes. I'll eat your face.
I don't really understand the sneakerhead thing. And I totally get how people can say, well, you collect vinyl. But I feel like I'm getting something out of records. You know, you listen to a record or whatever. You know, it's art. You know, and I know you can make argument for shoes and clothes. But it just seems silly to have 50 pair of sneakers.
I've accumulated quite a few pairs of shoes now, but I usually wear, I don't keep them like nice or anything. It's more for the, you know, maybe it's just, if you grow up not having a lot of money and eventually you start getting more clothes, you got to change your clothes theoretically every day, you know, but, oh, I changed my shirt. Oh, I could change it up. But then when you get a little more scratch, you can even do that with shoes. Because I remember being a kid, you just had a pair of shoes till they fell off your feet and you got a new pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a little older, you get a little bit more money. You know, you think of like a rich guy with a bunch of different cars. Well, that's how somebody that's not rich could but maybe have different shoes.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
I don't understand. It's not my thing either to like line up for limited edition sneak, but think of limited edition anything. That's just psychologically you've convinced somebody that you got to have it. Some people, you know, it's for you, it's records or like old technology. Some people like to have, like, you see people with cameras, they're photographers and they like having like the old cameras around, stuff like that. So it's not my thing, but you know, I understand why people are into it.
I know a guy, I won't mention his name, but a guy who says he has 185 pair of old Jordans. He collects the old Jordans or new any Jordan, but he has 185 pair of Jordans. And I was talking to another buddy about this guy, and the guy I'm talking about lives in Alabama, and my buddy's like, I wonder if his kid, and he has kids. He's like, I wonder if his kids are pissed that he has 185 pair of Jordans, but we still live in Alabama. You know, you get that much money to spend on sneakers, you can maybe move us to a more metropolitan area. Pops.
Maybe that's a plan. Is when time comes, though, that's his bitcoins.
Mm-hmm.
Those Jordans are only going up in price.
That may be true. Yeah, that's true.
Jordans are just appreciating in value.
It seems weird to have...
Not like a fucking beanie baby, yeah.
I still live in an apartment, but I have 200 pair of Jordans. That just seems odd.
Those are in a different apartment. I got an apartment.
Who am I to judge?
That's all right. I can think of better ways to spend money, but I sit here with multiples of things myself, so... I get it.
Bright, Pierce. What's the funniest way to tell? It's that Pete Holmes joke. Pierce, get the beers. Pierce, I don't know what you're doing here, buddy. What's the funniest way to tell your roommate that their cat got hit by a truck and it's currently in the freezer? I don't like that at all, buddy. You got a cat. You got a cat avatar right there, too.
I don't think people pick those on purpose.
Oh, okay. Well, did that happen, Pierce? Oh, my God. I ran over a cat. I ran over a cat one time when I was a cop. And, man, that sucked.
Jesus Christ. Is that how you were trying to get it out of the tree? You were ramming it with the squad car?
I felt so bad. I had to go tell the owner. It just ran right out in front of me. Just right out in front. Nothing I could do.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to the family of rabbits I rolled over on my lawnmower.
Fuck. God damn, dude.
Yeah, that was awful.
All right, next question.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Nick Toma, what is your most shameful or maybe best stoner food creation? Do you get loose with it, Dave? It seems like you kind of got, you know, the pathways to deliciousness, and so you're not going to fuck around.
Yeah, I've never been into, like, the novelty stoner food, you know, like, I take a pack of ramen noodles and then some pancakes, and then, although that maybe sounds kind of good. I don't like getting too creative.
I'm over here just Frank. Yeah, I'm going full Frank Zappa with my bullshit.
I like the traditional approach, you know, and it's, you know, I mean, even stoner food, there's, I don't know. I don't like to get too creative. I know that sounds weird for a chef or a cook to say that they don't like to get too creative, but these dishes have been, you know, in effect for centuries, some of these. So they're fine. I don't really have any.
What about like playing a little jazz in the kitchen?
I mean, I do that sometimes, like that recipe I gave out last week, the loaded rice and beans. Like, now the shit like that, I don't mind. But I'm talking about getting, like, real weird. Like, you take Doritos and you bake them and then you add some fucking grape jelly. I don't need that shit. But, yeah, rice and beans.
How do you think how do you think the flavors got to a point, though?
No, I get it. I'm not saying I'm opposed to any exploration or experimentation, but some people are a little too proud of their bullshit prison grub, you know?
No, some of it's stupid. I mean, I just told you yesterday, you get to the end of the bag of the chips, and it's like not crumbs, but it's not dippable chip size.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got salsa, and I just whip that up. I just pour them into each other.
Okay.
I take an amount of salsa I would want on a spoon, mm-hmm. not a big full spoon, but how much would you get on a chip that you dip?
Mm-hmm.
And then I take a handful of like the not dusty crumbs, but like larger pieces, but to not that you could dip. And then I drop them over the spoon, and whatever collects is like a chip size amount of chip fragments with the amount that would of salsa would go on there. I put that in my mouth.
Okay. Okay.
Also, I like to play a very dangerous game of Russian roulette of like which fast food condiment would go on a different fast food. Ooh. And for some reason, I think they figured out how to just give you diarrhea if you do that, but I'd still party. Taco Bell hot sauce on a Pizza Hut pizza, man.
Okay.
Surprise. Surprise. Huh. Pretty tasty.
Interesting. I
got to stop talking. I'm hungry now, dude.
I'll do this at McDonald's. I'll get the sausage McMuffin with egg, and then you get a side of their barbecue sauce, and you throw that on there. That's pretty fun. I like that.
I see A1 creeping into more food more often. Not a lot. It's a powerful flavor, but like A1 with eggs.
Yeah, A1 needs to take it easy. They're coming on a little strong.
Like, well, calm down, is that A1's fault or is that user error? Like,
I think it's A1's
fault. Slather shit.
It's pretty. There's nothing subtle about it. I'll tell you that.
Their name is A1. They're not like maybe you'd like it. They fucking we're the best. A1.
A1 and Heinz 57 both feel like they got a little bit of like turpentine in them, a little cleaning product or something. Like they spilt a little Ajax in the mix. There's just something not right going on there.
If that's what works for it, I like them. Mm-hmm. In limitation, but also on non-traditional foods is what I'm saying. So that's mostly I haven't created food. I like different sauces, non-traditional sauces. Mm-hmm. All right.
Noah Nelson.
I'll answer that. What did he say?
Noah Nelson asked, gnarliest pit you've ever been in. He says, social distortion 4 years ago was rowdy, like 40-year-old plumbers that needed an outlet.
Dude, that's dangerous. Yeah, that's what's dangerous about social D dudes is because they're fucking old bullies. Mm-hmm. And so now not only were they like dicks, but they have to prove they can still be dicks. And they don't want to see younger, like, and especially if like a younger dude comes by, it turns into some alpha male shit. I would not
really
touch a social distortion pit. Yeah, well, that's my impression of a show. Now, even when I went to him before, it was like, in Chicago, pits were always fun, and it was people that, you know, kind of, as much as it's a mosh pit, there's still a little respect for one another. And social distortion was always fucking dickhead rockabilly dudes that were just all about kicking ass instead of having fun. Well, because it's a whole scene about posturing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole scene about looking like the fucking, ooh, look out, man, you fucking looked at my girl, now we got to race for pink slips type of shit.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be intimidated by a guy with a well-manicured pompadour. Like,
yeah, that's a, yeah.
I'm not afraid of you, dude. You spend too much time in front of the mirror.
Well, if they're in the pit, they're usually the guys that are like, oh, I've been waiting to kick somebody's ass, but I can't because of society, man.
Man, I used to throw down in my younger days. I've been in some crazy pits. Anybody from Atlanta might remember The Masquerade. That was like one of our best metal bars. Not really a bar. I mean, it was a full-fledged multi-level venue. But the main room probably held about 800. So I saw so many metal shows there. But that was when I was 19, 20. That was just we didn't go to hurt anybody or bully anybody, but we definitely went to fucking blow off some steam. Like, oh, if there's going to be a pit, then we will be in it and it will be awesome. I mean, we didn't, you know, single people out or bully anyone, but like, man, it was pretty intense sometimes. I've been in the Pantera's pit more than once. Just so many Sepultura. At this big outdoor amphitheater.
Sepultura.
Yeah, Roots, Bloody Roots. Yeah, man. A lot of those, we had these big, like, radio festival shows in Atlanta. And I remember one time, probably 94, 95, it might have been Lollapalooza. But it was like 311 and Jane's Addiction and just about. I remember the 311 pit was pretty intense. So that was fun.
Yeah, I could see 311 fans.
And what we would do, especially
brain cells slammed around.
And the way that the pit was like in the lawn, and you know the layout, the topography of an amphitheater tells you that lawn is probably going to be at an angle. And I remember there was several shows where me and I had two or three buddies that were very like-minded, and we would go and pick out bullies. We would see people getting a little too rough or like big dudes picking on little dudes, and we would target them and just fucking lay them out. And I remember one time at that 311 show, I kind of got like a 10-yard head start running downhill and just football tackled this dude, not tackled him, but hip checked him and just fucking laid him out. That was always fun. But yeah, we would target the shitheads.
It needs it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it needs it. There's guys that are just like, yeah, they finally get to be a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were always bullies, but I was always used to, the ones I would go like the punk shows. It was just kids flying everywhere, but nobody was trying to beat anybody's ass. Like if they saw you were doing that, that got checked pretty quickly. So it was more just the chaos that everybody loved. So
well,
like,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, I remember just getting
getting my clock cleaned, not on purpose, but just somebody flying through the air and landing directly on my head. And all of a sudden I just didn't hear it. I didn't hear anything anymore. They like somebody like reset the TV on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard that like TV, like, like that kind of electronic Ooh. Sound. And that's that was good. A little wild. Cause even my buddy, that was like, my buddy saw what happened and like pulled me out and put me to the side. Like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm pretty tuned up right now. I like landed just directly on my head.
Damn.
Compressed my neck.
One thing I never understood, I missed this whole scene. I wasn't really into, I don't even know, remember if we had in Atlanta a hardcore scene. We had a metal scene. We had a punk scene. But, and I never really got too much into hardcore, but, you know, you'd see the videos and stuff, the live footage. But that whole, that style of moshing where they, you know, they're slinging the arm, doing the windmill, and then doing, like, the fake punching thing. And, like, that always was like, hey, man, I know you're probably not meaning to hit someone, but you're going to fucking jack somebody in the jaw if you keep doing that. Like, that just seemed odd.
Yeah, it's like, hey, it's all this straight-edge shit, too. It's like, just take a drink if this is how you got to lash out at the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't poison myself. Well, now you got your cheekbone is pushed through the back of your brain, but thank God you never smoked a joint. Fucking dorks. Yeah. What a drag. What a drag that scene is to me, the straight edge hardcore thing. Like, you'd like, you know, just like, oh, who's playing this weekend? I don't know these guys. Let's go see them. And you'd wind up at one of those shows and be like, I am not interested in being part of this at all. You guys seem like a drag.
Oh, boy.
Jay Jensen says, can we play her Dave's childhood freakout that his brother recorded? That's a request, Dave. That's a
Oh, man, I doubt that tape is in existence, but who knows? There are some audio tapes from when I was a kid. I told a story about doing karaoke into the stereo singing Elvis and Johnny Lee songs. There's tapes of me, like, being 3 years old just singing You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog out of breath, screaming it into a microphone. But yeah, I don't know if that's
screaming an Elvis song is funny to me.
Yeah.
It's not quite the nuance of King of Rock and Roll, but hey. So anyway, that's requested of you. That is requested.
All right. Next time I visit my family, I'll see if that tape exists. But yeah, I remember it very vividly. I went on a fucking rampage. Beat the shit out of all my toys.
Just, all right, well, let's get it out there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Valerie Green, what would you like to incorporate into the subreddit or see the subreddit do differently? I go there, Dave. I don't know how often you go over there.
Not often, but I'll start checking in.
Yeah, I mean, Reddit's it's a whole new, you know, black hole to waste your time in, and you wouldn't be wrong if you wanted to avoid it based on that. But I feel like it feels like less of a waste of time because I don't participate really in the comments section. Only on the Boogie Monster one will I occasionally be like, hey, you know, like people make artwork and stuff, and it's cool. And I like breach the fourth wall there, but otherwise, it's more of a like, oh, here's a better accumulation of news stories or interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, you could still just piss away your day, but it's less like Twitter where it's people's just bad jokes or opinions, or Instagram where it's just if you don't follow. I mean, I just follow bikes and shit on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So, but nothing. I think it's great. I love that it's kind of its own thing, and it doesn't have to be about what we're doing on the show, and it's people just sharing their food that they made. And it's also, like, nice. Like, I sometimes, like, if somebody has an opinion about the show or they don't like it, I know people usually echo what we say. Like, how much did you pay for it? Nothing? Well, then fuck off. You know, but all dissenting opinions shouldn't just be
shooed away. Mm-hmm. You can disagree with stuff we say or be unhappy about the show, and that should be a place that's okay to discuss it. I mean, sometimes people are just dicks, and yeah, they can fuck off. Like, if you just came there to be a dick, that's fine. But if you came to like, oh, I'd like to see this different in the show, or this, you know, it helps if you phrase it not like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
That helps. I kind of like what it is. I kind of like that it's turned into people sharing either scary stories or recipes or this, that. It's like, it seems like it's a cool community. So,
yeah, big thanks
keep
to
doing what you're doing out there.
Yeah, the folks, what would you call them? Moderators? What would you call the people that put that together for us? Who's running that?
Yeah, they asked me to be a moderator a while ago. I finally accepted just a kick. There was just one dude who was just a fucking putz and was just in there to be a putz all the time. I'm like, oh, we could just kick this guy out. Yeah, fuck off, dude. Like, but this isn't freedom of speech corner or something, mm-hmm, where everybody gets like, no, this is the thing. People are generally nice to each other and you're just a troll. I got no time for trolls anymore. Like, you don't win. That's the thing. You don't win trying to converse or trying to make fun of them because they've already taken on the role. Like, anything you say to me, I'll absorb it.
Yeah.
And be just the attention. It's like, just get rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing you do with trolls. Just block them, get rid of them, mute them, because they absorb no matter how much sense you make in an online argument. They just absorb that.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, well, whatever, it doesn't matter. You're fucking, you got an ass for a face. And they're like just around, mm-hmm, and they suck energy.
Yeah.
And they're useless. So just take away their voice. That's the one thing you could do to them. Not dissenting opinions, not disagreeing with people. I'm not saying that, but like, mm-hmm, somebody that just exists to be a shitbird. Yeah, fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah, I got no patience for that bullshit.
Got no time for it, man.
Jacob Rivas has a good one. If Squatch has been around for a while, hiding in plain sight, how far does his knowledge of modern technology go? I would think his high level of intelligence and being hidden all these years, he has to know of or understand basic technology like cars, light, buildings, etc. Appreciate you guys. Keep up the good shit. Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, okay. That's a good hypothetical. If pretend Squatch does exist, which I do, and we were to ever contact, mm-hmm, one or capture one, like, what does he know? I think about that, like, with my own animals. Like, when I see my cat looking out the window staring at a car, I wonder if he thinks, what the fuck is that? I know he's seen cars before, but I wonder what he thinks that is. Is that another animal? Is that a robot? Like, I wonder what Squatch knows. I mean, that's a great question, because you know he knows nature. He knows how to hide in the woods. But, like, okay, something new in the last few years. What must Squatch think of a drone? Like, what the fuck is that thing?
But I'm so on board with Squatch being a portal traveler.
Mm-hmm.
I think that explains so much about why you're never going to get him.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to see him. He's just going to go to another dimension.
Hmm.
So whatever technology is here, he's going through portals, man.
Hmm.
He doesn't need to worry about trail cams.
I was about to say, there's a theory that they're aware of trail cams and they intentionally avoid those.
I'm just going to throw down a door to another dimension and get out of here. But whatever. Good luck with your trail cam. I think he thinks we're like, we're the animals hunting around. He's a smart one. He's superhuman, not superhuman, but past. The Squatch's intelligence surpasses ours, and they toy with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. So I don't think he's, some rudimentary humanoid. I think he's an advanced humanoid, and isn't worried about our technology because he's from the future or travels through dimensions.
Hmm.
Why do people from the future have to have like suits and everything? What if the suit is just hair, large, no need for clothes anymore. That's an actually more of an advancement for human species, is not to like figure out new wearable technology, but to get to the point where you don't have to wear anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What if he's all just, what if he's got like he's biohacked himself? All his communicatory devices are underneath the skin, and he just needs the hair to stay warm. Maybe he's an advanced human from the future.
Hmm.
So throwing that around.
One day, man.
There you go.
I feel like we're...
There you go.
Any day now, we're going to get some good, hard evidence. Has
I
to
feel
be.
Like...
Has to be, right?
Nope.
All these
nope.
fucking cameras and trail cams.
Does not have
and
to be.
Fucking...
Not if he's smarter.
Drone
not
cams.
Not if he's smarter.
I think...
Think about the species that we don't know yet that exist on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Of just whatever.
Yeah.
Or when you hear like, oh, this... We thought this... whatever kind of leopard or something has been extinct, but we finally saw one.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be footage.
I think a drone is going to get some great footage. I think Squatch can hear and sense and smell humans on foot tracking him through the forest. But I just feel like there's going to be a drone that just pops up out of nowhere, catches him off guard, and gets some great footage.
I don't think you're catching him off guard, man.
No?
I hate to tell you that.
Okay.
I don't think you're catching. We're the ones off. He catches us off guard. Everybody go and look for him. They never see him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Two idiots on a gay fishing trip. All of a sudden, quick, put your dick away. Squatch is watching.
Alex Wynn. Hi, boys. What's one thing that you really care about or enjoy that your significant other could give a shit about, or vice versa? Do you try to compromise, force your taste onto each other, or keep it to yourselves? Hope you're good. Thanks, Alex. That's a good question. Yeah, almost everything. Katie, I tell you what, Katie's such a good sport. Like, she doesn't give a shit about sports. She doesn't give a shit about probably 90% of my music that I'm into, but she's a good sport. Like, she'll sit down and watch a Braves game with me. She'll let me, you know, blast my rock and roll records throughout the house. She's a good sport. And I can't say that I, like, if she was just blasting Real Housewives all day, I'd probably get weary of that. But I used to put a lot of credit into common interest amongst your significant other. That's great when you're 25 and you both like the same bands and want to go see them. But, like, at the end of the day, I don't think that shit really matters. I like that she's into stuff I don't give a fuck about.
Mm-hmm. I think it's... Yeah, I feel like that's a testament of a strong relationship is how much we get along for not having a lot in common.
Exactly.
And then that is what's fun, is going, all right, let's do one of your things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now let's do one of my things. And now let's do a thing that neither of us know if we're going to like. But we're going to like it because we enjoy each other's company. Like going to Topgolf. Like doing date stuff. Doing silly date stuff.
Yeah.
That's still fun because we're going to enjoy each other.
Yeah.
But now I go roller skating. You know. But she got a new bike. So we go on bike rides. She had a mountain bike. We go on bike rides around town. I go roller rink with her. She's gone to concerts that I want to see. We go, you know, go to concerts she wants to see. Like, we're doing fun things.
Yeah, that's great.
So I think that's the sign of a strong relationship is you don't have to have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm. And I've
and also the confidence to let somebody go and be like, you know what, I'm going to do my thing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And not having some sort of codependence of like, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to do your thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit in my room, play guitar. You're going to go, you know, sit in your room and change wheels on your roller skates. And then we're going to have dinner later and have a great time.
Absolutely. I've been on the inverse of that, too. I've dated people solely because we had so many common interests in terms of, you know, music or whatever. And if that's the foundation of your relationship, eventually that's going to deteriorate. What happens if our whole connection is based on liking this same band. What happens 10 years later when I lose interest in that band? And then now we don't, because we put so much stock in that, we didn't really develop our own personalities towards each other. And now it's like, Yeah. So I'd much rather have my current situation where, like, because all that stuff is fairly superficial anyway. I mean, if you can have both, great. Like, yeah, it'd be great if Katie was obsessed with Clutch. But like, that's just, it's superficial. Like, it only gets you so far.
Well, but then that's like you meet fans of something else at a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Or like anything, like, you know, my pals that I go on bike rides with, I met them because of going on bike rides. But then what was fun and why we became friends is because we could talk and joke about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see some people when you're on a bike ride with and all they could talk about is the bikes or the gear or this and that. Yeah. And like, it's fun. But it's like, man, I'm not going to hang out with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, other comedians. It's like, you know which comedians you hang out with because, like, I like this guy. This is fun. Let's go do fun things versus, like, mm-hmm. We're just going to talk about comedy.
Yeah.
We're just going to talk about the thing we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've dated people where it's like they just haven't had their own thing going on. So it's like, mm-hmm. What's going on this weekend? Oh, I would, like, feel bad. Like, Friday, I kind of want to go out with my friends, mm-hmm. You know? Okay, come with, and then you'll just be there. Well, I'm with my friends, but then you don't have a personality to be hanging out with my friends, so then I feel like, oh, I got to make sure you're entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm also trying to have fun. Like, this isn't any good.
Yeah. All right. Good question, though.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex. Let's do one more.
The
Boogie
Monster Within.
Why don't you grab us one more? We'll land this puppy.
I want to do two. There's a couple in here. I guess we'll get to the rest of these for the next time around.
Oh yeah,
This we touched on this in the episode this week, but the Savage Cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
Which, good name. I'm not going to lie. Good usernames. They get you in there. Best American bastardization of another culture's food. This one, and then I'm going to do a monster.
Okay. We did touch on this yesterday. My thing is, I was talking about Southern American version of Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
Southern American. That sounds like Brazil. You know what I'm saying.
But, yeah.
In terms of the white queso. I could sit. That's the move, too. Go to a Mexican restaurant in the South, belly up to the bar, have you some cold beers, and just get you some chips and salsa and white queso. Mm-hmm. Hang out. Watch chips and cheese. God, that's a good time.
Seeing as how most American food is adapted or a bastardization,
mm-hmm.
you know, like sausages turned into hot dogs or pizza. Pizza is kind of, it's not really, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, wasn't it like originally like a German concept?
Oh, I don't know that.
Like taken... taking whatever kind of leftovers and putting them on a piece of bread kind of thing. It wasn't like, I'm going to create a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those, like how nachos were made, like apparently developed in a Mexican restaurant because it was like old, like drunk white dudes. Like, well, I got these chips. I could fry them and we could put some stuff on them.
Yeah.
Fuck, I want some nachos right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird question because most American food... outside of whatever they call, I don't know what you would consider new American cuisine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've said this before. To my knowledge, I've never had like really good, authentic Chinese food. Like, I want to go, like, whatever they're eating in the good restaurants in China, in Hong Kong or wherever, like, I want to try that. I mean, I like bastardized American Chinese food, but I feel it just when I'm eating orange chicken, it just feels like, yeah, this isn't very, this can't be very authentic. Like, this is what they made for us.
I went to a restaurant in China. I went to a restaurant in China when I was still eating meat, and it was that. It wasn't orange chicken, but it was something. It was kind of dishes like that, and it was fucking great. It
really?
Was so good.
I bet.
But then also just weirdo street food was good. In Malaysia, the food truck I went to, I just remember, like, it was just completely unsanitary. It was just hot as shit. Tropical climate, and just raw meat on different sticks. And you'd be like, I want one of those, one of those, one of those. And they put it in the fryer and give it to you. And it was fantastic.
When it was raw, was it on ice or anything? Or was it just out in the
kinda,
sun?
It was kind of on it, but they just kept putting ice into this. I mean, it was, I'm sure their, you know, stomachs are stronger than here. But but I had the Chinese food that was like, oh, this is authentic, I guess. Or is this the restaurant that the white people go to? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I remember being in Mexico City. Now I'm just bragging about places I've traveled. But people tell me, like, this is a great restaurant. And I'm like, ooh, yay, Mexican food. It's like, no, dumbass. This is just a restaurant in Mexico that is Mexican chefs making new Mexican cuisine. And it was amazing. I cannot remember what I had. But I remember, like, yeah, it's not going to be fucking tacos or whatever. But I had that, the street food in Mexico. I love street food. God damn, I love street food. I don't know, man. Hot dogs. I love hot dogs, and any food you pick that even you think is American is probably a bastardization. So I'll say that. But let's do. There's a lot of good questions here that we will get to the other ones next month. But I want to. Okay, let's get a monster. Oh, I like this one. The Okie Dokie Hokey Pokey. Again, the name got me. If you had to guess that one celebrity is an alien, who would you choose? Answering Gary Busey or Elon Musk would be cheating.
Okay.
Tilda Swinton.
I was about to say Tilda Swinton. I've got another one.
We all agree.
Yeah.
From I got looks, another one. Do you think because of looks or because she's just fun and weird?
Both. Both.
Okay.
I know you probably don't know who this guy is. He's not a celebrity per se, but the commissioner of the NBA is this guy named Adam Silver.
He got that weird hair. Does he have like a bowl cut and he's like 65?
No, that's the owner of the Raiders. That guy looks like a, yeah, that guy's a fucking alien too. What a fucking weirdo. What's like wrong with your hair?
Like a gargoyle that got kicked out of Supercuts.
What is he doing? No, this guy's bald. Google Adam Silver NBA and you'll know what the fuck. Guy's not a fucking alien, he missed a good chance. This guy creeps me the fuck out. He's got to be an alien. What a weirdo.
Yeah. He just looks like a hairless cat.
Yeah, you tell me he doesn't look like a gray. Fucking.
He's only 60 years old. Yeah, he got a real dramatic look to him.
I mean, that's an alien. That is an alien in disguise.
Well, that's just on looks, though. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, personality or behavior.
Uh-huh.
That's why I picked Tilda Swinton. I like that she just kind of goes for weird stuff with acting and then kind of just does weird stuff anyway. Like, more of a Bjork type of thing. You know, choosing to make odd sounds. As music. Yeah, I don't think Elon Musk is he's what he is. Gary Busey Pet Judge is a TV show.
What?
That I'm telling you is out there.
What?
And Rachel and I said nothing on Gary Busey's face is installed correctly. When a sixth grader comes home with a birdhouse and everything's just wonky. That's Gary Busey's whole face looks like a first timer's attempt at a birdhouse.
It looks like a loose Mr. Potato Head. Like somebody had put the features in too many times and they don't hold in the right places anymore.
But I watched him. Go ahead.
Hold on. So Gary Busey, pet judge. I don't think he got the education to be the judge.
Not certified.
But they gave him a robe. They did give him a robe and a gavel.
Oh man.
And he is in a set of a courtroom, and you could tell everybody else. It's not real. Like everybody else, like it's a story. You could tell it's all sketch actors and everybody that they've put in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Gary Busey knows that. And so people come in with these concocted stories about their animals, but they're just realistic enough for you to stay in the game mm-hmm. because you want to see Gary Busey come up with some type of verdict. And it's on somehow on television. So go.
Oh boy.
Check it out. Go check it out. Letting you know it's there.
Mm. Yeah, I'll have to pass on that. I hate that novelty shit. It just seems like such a waste of time. I just feel so guilty and useless when I watch something that stupid.
What's the last three YouTube videos you watched, Dave? Girl, I want you to go to your YouTube history right now and tell me what the last three YouTube videos you watched were.
Primus concert, all right. That old Japan thing, and then probably a lady from Alabama catfish noodling. So, yeah, okay.
You can fit Gary Busey pet judge in there. They're like 15 minutes long, Dave.
I was saying I watched a bad movie with his son in it the other day. Do you remember Identity, 2003, John Cusack, Ray Liotta?
I don't remember it, but it sounds familiar.
It's not very good, but his son, Jake Busey, has a small Jake role Busey, in there. Yeah. He looks like Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age, but with bad dentures.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. What else was he? Starship Troopers was one. I thought he was in some decent movies, wasn't he? I don't know.
He got some chompers.
The big teeth in that family. The Frighteners, which everybody says is good, but I've never seen. Well, you'll watch that tonight. I don't know. I got nothing going on.
I always have to take a half-second pause whenever someone says Gary Busey. In my mind, I have to make sure that I'm not thinking of Nick Nolte. I know they're two different people, and I could pick them out of a lineup, but like when you first say Nick Nolte or Gary Busey, often I think of the other one. I'm like, okay, wait, which crazy Irish blonde guy is this?
Yeah, it seems like Nick Nolte can pull it together for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Gary Busey, I guess he was like in a car accident and that kind of banged him up, or a motorcycle accident. He's been tossed around a bit by this world.
Yeah.
The Stoned Age. He was in the Stoned Age. You ever see that?
I know what you're talking about. I never saw that. I think that was one of those movies that came out right after Dazed and Confused.
You could tell they were trying to capitalize on that vibe.
That happens a lot, and I think that's what was going on there. They're like, oh, we'll make our version of a teenage stoner pick.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
See that.
And then, oh, yeah, that's what I tried to watch, the new Creep Show.
Oh, really? Is there a new one?
It was not. Sadly, I didn't think it was great. Let me see. Which one did I watch? I think I watched the first one, and it didn't have the old Creep Shows kind of had a weird twist or something mm-hmm. fun to them. So maybe I'm just old now, and it's not.
It's always a possibility.
Tickling my scary bone the way it used to. Tickling my scary bone. Mm. You heard me. I said it. I'll watch again tonight. I'm going to do that.
Well, hell yeah, buddy.
Alrighty. All right, man. Well, we answered some. There's a lot of good ones, though.
Yeah.
We'll get to the rest of them next month.
Yeah. Somebody made a comment like, oh, they always say that, and they never do. We do. We get to the next ones. We get to the rest of them next month. I mean, maybe not every time, but many episodes have been a recycled batch of questions. We want to try to get them all.
Yeah, some good ones in there. And sorry about the audio issues if you listen this far. We got to make a little announcement for the beginning so people don't hear that screw up and then me forgetting where my mic was and then be like, fuck these guys, I'm not getting them $4.
I'll make sure that people know what's going on.
A little, hey, hang in there at about the 22-minute mark with some goofing around. Well, all righty.
Thank you, patrons. As always, we appreciate the shit out of you.
Sure do.
Spend your entertainment dollar anywhere. We're glad you spend it with us. So thank you very much. Buddy, hold down the fort.
Four entertainment dollars. It will do, man. I will.
I gotta go watch the Braves.
Oh, yeah. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.